This is Short-Term Rental Management, the show that is all about short-term rental property management, with your host, yours truly, Luke Carl. All right, here we go, Bobby and Nicole. They're awesome, man. Little ditty about Bobby and Nicole. And, man, they're just doing the damn thing. They've got jobs, and they've just chipped away one property at a time to make a better life for themselves, doing a little bit of co-hosting. And it's just very refreshing to talk to awesome people that have, made some strides to do a little better and make a better future for themselves and their kids. So that's what we're going to talk about today on this episode of Short-Term Rental Management. This episode of the Short-Term Management Show is brought to you by Short-Term Rental Long-Term Wealth. This is the book in the STR space, written by my lovely wife, Avery Carl. It has hundreds of reviews on Amazon, and it will teach you literally everything you need to know about STR. Short-Term Rental Long-Term Wealth, the book, wherever books are sold. Here we go. Short-Term Rental Management is going to be an awesome day today, and we have some really cool guests. We got Bobby and Nicole. They are in Orlando. They have been buying about a property a year for a number of years, and they both have day jobs and children and the whole thing. So, guys, welcome to the party. Talk to me about how you got started in real estate.
Totally. Yeah, so I've been a business development and sales representative for a company for 16 years. So of course, as a sales representative, you start at little to no salary, right? It's basically all commission. You make very little. So there's not a whole lot of cash to go around to buy houses and investments and that kind of thing. So long story short, I saved up enough cash to, go out and purchase something with the goal of finding something that would, create more cash flow outside of my W-2. So real estate obviously always tends to come to the top of the list when you're just kind of looking around the internet of things to do, things to invest in. A guy named Grant Cardone, I'm sure, obviously everybody knows who Grant is. When you search real estate, you're like, you never stop hearing about Grant Cardone. He pops up everywhere. So I stumbled across his university and bought his How to Invest in Real Estate, or How to, I forget what it's called, How to Get Started Investing in Real Estate or something like that. And Grant, of course, he preaches the, hey, you got to buy multifamily property. Don't buy one property. Make sure you're buying those multi-units so you always have somebody in there renting. If somebody leaves, you're, not losing, obviously, the, any money with the expenses you have on the property. So read that book and thought, what the hell, I have some money to invest. Let's try this real estate thing. So I know a realtor from a CrossFit gym that we frequent on a regular basis. So reached out to her, said, hey, this is what I'm interested in. Do you know anybody, or do you guys, specialize in, those type of investments? Well, she knew somebody on her team that did. Turns out that was Wade, that works for you guys now at the short-term shop. So got introduced to Wade. And the initial goal was to, try to find that multifamily property. And keep in mind, this is the beginning of 2021. So this is where you had to pay a lot for a property. There was a lot of competition. Interest rates obviously were super low. There's a lot of good deals out there. But I could not get anything landed. I couldn't. We put in multiple offers. I don't know. It's probably a mixture of me just not knowing what the heck I was doing, and then a mixture of, other investors coming in with more cash that were able to, get these deals. So after a number of offers that we put in that didn't go through, Wade let me know, hey, he was transitioning over to the short-term shop, and asked if I had heard of this gal named Avery Carl. Of course, I'm sure you've heard of her, Luke. So I started down the, bigger pockets road. So obviously went online, I researched Avery, bigger pockets came up. Listened to a few of her podcasts. Obviously, that turned into listening to YouTube videos and really just kind of digging into the short-term rental aspect of things. And being in Orlando, I thought, man, maybe this is the calling. You know, we're in like one of the, you know, what seems like the better markets in the US to invest in a short-term rental property. On top of that, being able to use the property is something that really intrigued me. So I decided to go down that route. And, you know, that led into not a purchase in Orlando, but a purchase in Daytona Beach, which is about an hour away from us. Same thing kind of happened in Orlando, put in a number of offers, wasn't able to grab anything. Obviously, the budget was super tight because it was our first property. We had enough for a down payment. Because of that competition, I decided to look into another market and found a condo in Daytona Beach, which was our first purchase and first experience with any, you know, short-term rental stuff there. So,
yeah, the Orlando thing, it just makes perfect sense. Okay, cool. So the first one ended up being in what town again?
Daytona Beach.
Daytona Beach. Okay, got it. Now, are you still in sales right now?
I am. Yep.
Okay. And are you a student of sales? I feel that sales is like really the biggest asset in life. You know, you got to sell yourself constantly. Are you? Maybe that's how, is that how you found good old Uncle Grant? Which I'm a, I am a fan. I love him. He's a lunatic, but I am a fan. So just talk to me about sales in general. Like, have you studied it? Are you really into it? Obviously, if things maybe have taken off for you, you've been doing it for quite some time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Sales has a bad rap, right? Sales, like if you're considered a salesperson, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to talk to you because you're going to try to sell me something. You're going to talk me into something that I don't want. I think, you know, what I've learned in sales really is, you know, you're working with somebody to figure out what they want and you're doing your best to go out and just find that, you know, and if you become that, you know, consultant versus the person that's trying to sell them something, you know, the first few sales are going to be difficult, but once you get that, you know, loyal base of customers, I mean, they're just going to send business your way and just, you know, becomes a little bit easier after that. So I found early on in my career that, you know, if you treat people right, you know, if you act more as an advisor, people will come to you versus you having to go to them. And then additionally, instead of trying to find those individual sales opportunities, work with that one person that maybe know, you know, the person that's familiar with, you know, 100 opportunities that they could go after, partner with somebody that, you know, can recommend you kind of thing. That's probably the biggest takeaway I've had.
I'm a big fan. I like sales. We're all selling ourselves all day, every day. And I do, it does get a bad rap. And people, oh, you're just trying to sell me something. Well, yeah, no crap, man. You're selling yourself to your wife every single day, whether you realize that or not, you know, because she can go find a better option, quite frankly, you know, all right, Nicole, a little bit about you. You are military and do have a day job as well, if you don't mind.
Yes, I am in the Army Reserves, have been for 20 years, hopefully retiring into this year. And I also do IT support for a plastics company. So I do the logistics IT support.
How much time does that require over the past 20 years for the reserves?
So I've deployed once and that was a 12-month stint, but generally I go 1 week in a month and then 2 to 3 weeks during the summertime. So basically it takes away 1 weekend of my time with my family and, you know, just doing double duty. So.
All right. Well, thank you. And did you get into real estate before or after you met this gentleman?
So when I was younger, my dad bought and flipped houses back in like 2002 to 2004. So I did a lot of the dirty work with my dad. So I knew somewhat of real estate and the benefits of it. Never really invested in real estate until I met Bobby. And but prior to that, I was listening to some real estate podcasts and just educating myself in that area and trying to save up money for a property.
Is your dad still around? Does he still own houses?
He does not own houses. He ended up becoming a home inspector, and ran his own business for like 20 years.
But sold the properties for various reasons or,
yes, just getting out of the business.
Got it. Okay. All right. So let's talk about that. Thank you, Nicole. Let's talk about that Daytona house. And, I guess what is it? How much did it cost? How many bedrooms, et cetera?
Yeah. So, purchased for, oh my gosh, This is where the memory comes in here.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, 400,000. It's a 2-bedroom condo on the beach. So it's got a, I'm literally beachfront, third floor, wraparound balcony, full beachfront. I mean, you're eye level with the Atlantic there.
Purchased what year?
Purchased 2021.
Oh, okay, 21. And this is one you had issues with weather, yeah?
Yep, exactly. Okay. One of the many issues we've had there.
Learning issues. All right, what was the first issue?
So the first issue was actually an assessment. So, you know, we all love condo assessments. Here's the thing. When I purchased that property in 2021, that place was printing money. Like, that's what really short-term rentals. I was like, holy smokes. Why didn't I decide to do this, like, you know, 5 years ago? Granted, it's probably a different ballgame 5 years ago. But things are going great. I wrote a timeline down here just so, you know, I don't miss the dates. But so purchased in 21. We listed for the first renter in August of 21. And rented the property until May of 2022. And that's when we were hit with the assessment. So the condo building decided to do a complete outside concrete restoration project, where they literally, you know, restore any concrete on the entire building. So this is like a jackhammering the concrete out of the building that needs to be replaced, refilling it. So you can imagine if you're renting it in this time, it's loud. You know, obviously it's not super guest friendly. Well, long story short, that assessment ended up costing us $50,000. And this is not even a year into owning the property.
And where do we get this $50,000?
You know, luckily,
you can't finance it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So luckily I was really good with, you know, just my plan was to use the expenses from that property to buy another property. And because that property was doing well, I was on the verge of, okay, I've almost got, you know, the down payment here ready for another property. Well, that assessment basically pretty much took that whole dang thing away. So luckily the rents were really good. You know, that first year built up a lot of cash. If I decided to put my cash in other areas, then I would have been in a different scenario. But luckily, you know, I had a big CapEx account saved up. You know, I had plans of using that for another investment. So I had some cash on the side to utilize for that. You know, so obviously, you know, when that happened, a lot of the units went up for sale. There's an element of, you know, return on investment for that property for me. But additionally, it's an hour away from our house, beachfront, right? So if we want to go to the beach, you know, we can pack the kids up and literally just go to the beach for the weekend. So there is like a personal use element of value, you know, that I kind of had. And forecasting what the property was going to do based on what it did the initial 12 months made sense to just ride it out. You know, obviously it would take some time to recoup that investment, but, you know, I'd get that back. And then, you know, obviously it would continue to cash flow as kind of time went on. So it made sense to keep it in my mind anyway.
Why do you think it did so well? Were you the only guy self-managing in that building? Do you think, you know, you were just setting yourself off by not sucking at management, or were there other elements?
Yeah. So I think part of that for sure. So that building is a majority of vacation rental management companies, the larger vacation rental management companies, owners that have owned those buildings for years and years. And they, you know, maybe they just have it listed on Vrbo or something. You know, Airbnb really isn't even a factor. Listings are not good. You know, photos are not good. So absolutely. I think, you know, when we, you know, purchased that property, you know, obviously we had the ability to do the Management Monday thing. And
hold on, what's Management Monday?
Yeah, I think there's a guy named Luke that puts this on. I forget, but.
No, but just for anybody that doesn't know, what was
your totally.
Perception of Management Monday?
Totally. Yeah. So you purchase property at a short-term shop. You have the ability to attend a Management Monday course, as many Management Monday courses as you want to attend. And Luke will basically walk you through from the A to Z, how to run and operate a short-term management company. So
there you go. So we do that. Yeah, we teach this. You're never going to believe it. Every Monday at the shop, we have this class, and we've been doing it for years. And actually, back in the day, I used to do it on the phone before anybody knew what Zoom was. That's cool. You came to Management Monday, and this is not a story that's all that unheard of, especially in condos where, you know, I mean, let's be real. Okay. Because I don't want to make it sound like this is some California gold rush here. Let's be real. Most people that can afford, in the grand scheme of the world, can afford a $500,000 two-bedroom condo probably don't want to deal with toilets and guests and nonsense because they're very busy people and they have, you know, maybe their doctors, et cetera. And so what you're talking about here is not all that uncommon. And I think it will, for the most part, probably remain not all that uncommon where the entire building is property managed and you were able to come in there and take the lion's share. You know, like you're probably getting booked before any other unit in that building. Would you say that that's fair?
Yep, totally. Yeah, if you look at all the listings and the quality and the photos, the biggest takeaway I got from you guys at the short-term shop really was to not take it too seriously. When I purchased that property, at the last minute, I almost hired a property management company because I was getting cold feet. It was like, well, can I really, you know, we're working W-2 jobs. We've got a family. It's like, you know, all these things go through your head. But, you know, when you dumb it down, it's really not that incredibly difficult as long as you stay on top of it. But yeah, man, I think that's just it. It's just, you know, constant, you know, evaluation of, you know, where how far out booked I am with the property, the pricing, constantly changing the photos, you know, stuff like
pictures. Yeah. Your competition probably has terrible photos.
Oh yeah. iPhone photos all over. Yeah. Yeah.
Just totally. Old school enemy method is all it is. And this is very common in condo buildings, you know, so if occasionally you get people that'll crap on condos, and I'll be honest, I'm not a massive fan, but it's just a personal thing for me. I want a little space. I want a little breathing room in my life just for something that I'm going to stay in. I would definitely stay in a condo though, but they're not necessarily my favorite, but I'm telling you, if you're crapping on condos, listen to this. It's very common to go in there and just clean house because everybody else stinks at it, you know? So has there been any pushback at all from the HOA? Are other people saying, how come this guy's self-managing? Have you had other, have you had it? Well, let me ask you that question. Let's go with that one first. Any pushback from the HOA?
Oh, no. Pushback, you mean on self-managing it myself?
Yeah, like you can't do this kind of crap. Don't crap on my lawn.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Okay, great.
No.
Have the neighbors taken notice and said, I've noticed you're very booked. Would you mind telling me how you did that? Has it catching on in any way or not really?
Not really. You know, I think the majority of owners in the building, like their primary use is to use it as a vacation rental, right? So they don't really care.
They don't care.
Yeah, there are residents there, of course. So there are some that live in the property, but, you know, majority of them have owned it for a number of years and they just, it's just their second home. So
there's a good amount of residents within the building as well. And it's also one of the condos in that area that does have a 7-day limit. A lot of the condos are 30 days. So that also helps with booking.
I see. And you have to rent it for a minimum of 7 days.
Yeah,
correct. Most of the other ones in Daytona Beach are 30 days.
Okay. But you have no problem filling the 7-day, because in a lot of markets, it's usually like 3 or 4 days, but no problem in your market.
No.
Okay. Cool.
No.
Cool.
So
the assessment happened before, I don't want to give it away, but the weather incident
correct.
Simultaneously.
Yep. It was before. Yep. No, before. Yeah. So, So that happened, May of 2022. And then it was Hurricane Ian in 2022 in October. We had the gamut, man. We had, obviously we couldn't get into the condo, but I think the day after the hurricane and they opened the bridges. So to get into like the main, you know, Atlantic Avenue area of Daytona, there are a few bridges that they shut down just because of the structure. They
flooding.
Had to, you know, engineers had to go and make sure they were safe to drive over. When that opened, we were able to go to the property and there was water damage. I mean, we literally walked into like a puddle of water, like in the whole unit. So the kitchen cabinets, the drywall, it was basically all ripped out, needed to be ripped out and completely redone. So that obviously closed the property. Luckily I had good insurance, right? You want to have good insurance, especially if you're in a beach market. Insurance is a whole nother topic in Florida, especially, but, you know, luckily, you know, we were able to, it took 3 months from start to finish to bring it back online. So shut down for 3 months, no rental, back online in January. Of 2023.
Okay. All right. So things have been pretty smooth since then. And you started shopping around and landed on another property?
Yep. Yeah. So things went smooth since then. So in February of 2023, I purchased the second property in Blue Ridge, actually Blue Ridge, Georgia. So that came from, of course, funds that came in from that initial property. And then, of course, some, you know, tax strategy, of course, to, you know, to obviously to help with that initial down payment to get into that second property. Is it okay to give a shout out to a short-term rep or short-term shop?
Absolutely.
Agent? Okay. Yeah. I worked with Tom in Georgia for the second property. And that was another, I put in a number of offers, stuck with it, and eventually found a little two bedroom, two bath cabin.
Let me back you up. Talk about your tax strategy. What are you talking about there? You cost seg the condo or what did you do? Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Can you explain what that means?
Yeah. So cost seg the condo, which basically, you know, we had a cost seg company come in and, you know, put together a cost seg study that allowed us to depreciate, you know, everything within the condo to, you know, increase the amount of refund that we were able to get at the end of the year. So because we also work W-2 jobs, you know, I'm on the higher, you know, tax percentage range. So being able to, you know, do the cost seg on the condo, along with making sure I have all my material participation hours in and, you know, making sure everything was aligned there, I was able to actually, you know, decrease the amount of income that I'm taxed on an annual basis. So that helped contribute to, you know, putting money down for that second property.
The short-term rental loophole, as they call it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's and, exactly.
Who did you use for your cross check?
This was Madison. Madison.
Okay. Yeah. Yona.
Yep. Exactly.
He's wonderful. Okay, cool. So we came over to Blue Ridge. Now we do... We love Blue Ridge at the shop. We're huge fans. We operate there. And but we do occasionally hear people, you know, saying some negative things about it. So how did you navigate that? I'm sure you heard these negative things. And I don't personally own there. So I've had in the past where I've purchased in markets where people were saying things about the properties not being able to make money. But I had one there and I could say, well, mine's making some damn money. So I don't know what you're doing wrong. I don't have that in Blue Ridge. So can you speak to, you know, the process and how you work through some of that negativity and if the property is being successful today?
Yeah. You know, I didn't really pay a lot of attention to any of the negativity. I ran the numbers worked, you know, I had the down payment, it fit within my budget. So I bought the property, right? Keep in mind, this is our second property. So, you know, we're not, you know, pros at this yet, right? There's still a lot of learning that we can do to make sure we're buying the right deals and, you know, the deals that are going to cash flow the absolute most. Could I have bought a better deal? Yes. Is this a bad deal? No. Are we making money on this? Absolutely. You know, so, you know, I think it's all in how you manage it. If you buy a property and like this property in Blue Ridge, if I were to buy it and then put it with a property manager, it's probably not going to do super well because they're not going to give it the TLC that we do, you know, with making sure the photos are up to date, you know, getting them redone every year, making sure the listing's optimized, you know, making sure the pricing is optimized and the pricing, you know, is changed according to occupancy, you know, making sure the right amenity boxes are checked, you know, all that stuff. So it's a property you have to stay on top of, you know, like any property, you're not just going to set pricing and, you know, hope for the best, you know, as long as we're staying on top of it, you know, reducing pricing if we do have those gaps in bookings to get them booked, you know, we're, you know, the property is doing just fine. So from like, hey, buy the property, throw it with a property manager, you know, maybe it might not do so well. Obviously, that's relative to what property you buy and the investment. But from our perspective, you know, it's been neat. Plus, it's only, what, 6.5-7 hours away. So it's another property that we can go use. You know, that's the joy of this, right? So if we want to drive up to the mountains, a 6-hour drive, we can go freaking use that property. So there's an element of personal use there, just like Daytona that, you know, I mean, even if we, you know, made a little bit, you know, I think we'd still be fine with it. So
it's also another learning experience for us because it's a lot different of a market than it is for Daytona Beach. Daytona Beach, we get a lot of northern guests come down, whereas our Blue Ridge property is a lot of drive-to market. So it's more weekend stays, shorter stays. So it's understanding the different markets. So that really helped us to have a better understanding and lead into exploring different markets and leading into, you know, the business that we created and other things. So
Short Term Shop Plus has live and recorded sessions on the following topics: creating compelling listings, marketing your STR property, setting up a new listing, managing from a distance, finding and acquiring your first or next STR, live revenue management audits with the pros, analyzing an STR for gross revenue. All of this and much, much more is now available at your fingertips with Short Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know to have success in the world of vacation homes and STR. Please join us at stsconsultation.com. That's stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com to learn more. Yeah. Let me ask you about the location in Blue Ridge. Do you want to be closer to town, further from town? Where is yours? And are you happy with the location?
Yeah, so I hate to say if I could go back, because I think you learn from everything. But so location-wise, we're at the tip top. We're in Mineral Bluff, which is on the border there of North Carolina. So, you know, they say, and revenue numbers do look a little better if you're closer to downtown Blue Ridge. If you have that Blue Ridge address, you know, we have a Mineral Bluff address, so we have to make sure that we have keywords and stuff in, you know, Airbnb and Vrbo to pick that stuff up. Or we think it's working anyway. You know, we're happy with it. Like it's,
and was it a little bit cheaper up there or not?
Not really.
A little bit.
I mean, at that time, again, this was February 22. So things were still, market was still pretty hot. You know, you were competing like we've been competing, you know, with other buyers. So
I guess at that point it was starting to cool off a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. But, happy with it. It functions. It makes a couple of bucks and no complaints on Blue Ridge.
Yeah, no, you know, and honestly, I'm not afraid to get somebody in there for a lower rate. You know, I mean, you might have the owner that says, hey, I'm not going to rent this for less than $139 a night. I would rather rent it for, you know, even if it's $99, it's a 2-bedroom cabin up in the mountains, you know, a lot of last minute bookings. You know, I'm okay with saying I'll mark it down to even $99 to get those gaps filled, you know, asses and seats, right? Like, I think you say that on a regular basis. Yeah. I mean, I'm fine filling the dates versus them just being, you know, not booked and really not making any revenue. So
I got no, I mean, I don't like to go to $100 on a 2-bedroom, but same. If I have to, then I have to. I mean, at that point it becomes a hotel room, right? You know, so if they have options at a hotel for $100, then why wouldn't I just offer them? And then it keeps my cleaner happy, you know, keep her working, keep him working. And that it just keeps everything flowing. Some Blue Ridge. And then where did we go from there?
Tennessee.
Yeah. So that's when, we bought this one together. So in Tennessee, we, worked with Levi up there.
Yes.
So, that was an awesome experience. You want to talk a little bit about that one, or
yeah?
What is it? How big is it? How many bedrooms?
Bedrooms, 2 bath in Sevierville.
Two? Did you say two?
3-bedroom, 2-bath.
3-bed. Okay, cool. 3-2. And
yes, we knew we wanted to expand into that market, so we started looking.
Well, how do you navigate the? It's a completely different type of negativity in that market. You know, it's
Totally.
We know you're going to get rented there, but there are so many people doing this. How could you want to do this? It's so, my goodness, there's so many other people, blah, blah, blah. How did you navigate that? And did you care?
No, we didn't care. We, we did the research. We saw the numbers and knew we wanted to break into that market. We liked this property just because it's outside of the chaos. This was the first time we had ever been there too, once we put an offer in on this house. So we didn't really know what Gatlinburg and all that was about. But we put an offer in on this house and we loved it because it was just off. It's in like the arts and craft district of Sevierville. And it's just off of the chaos. And we really cater to, we get a lot of families. We are pet friendly. So I feel like we differ in that aspect. And it's, a cabin is not right next door. You know, it's not cabin row. It's just a little bit different than the normal that everybody books there. So We love it.
Yeah, we didn't throw a dart.
No, we did our research. Okay.
We did the research. Levi really
came through for us, and we're still working with him to find another one in that area. We really like it out there.
Okay, great, great. And we've moved on to three markets now. Are we, are you happy with that decision at this point? Would you rather they were all in one area? Sometimes we hear, you know, people would rather have them next to each other, but no problems with the management being at a distance, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think we do a great job of, you know, finding a good team, finding a good cleaner, finding a good handyman for eyes on the property. You know, we try to do our best to make it out there, you know, once or twice a year to do maintenance, you know, just see how things are going. And it also helps us to, you know, service other owners, other guests and things like that. Just having different knowledge in different markets.
Yeah.
So we love it.
You know, I'm not sure we would treat any house any different if it was 3 minutes away or 8 hours away in the way we run it, you know. Could we drive out there, right? If something happens and you know, it's a simple fix, you know, you gotta put a new door on a property or I don't know, something dumb like that, right? But, you know, I mean, we'll generally just call somebody to make that happen. So whether it's here,
we have the time. Yeah. Even if we were three minutes down the road, I don't think it's worth our time and money. You know, we really have to outsource and have a great team built to rely upon. And I think we're really good at strategizing with that. So it's paid off.
And you've taken on some other folks' properties at this point. You're co-hosting. Tell me a little bit about that.
Totally. Yeah. So, you know, after purchasing this Smokies property, it's, you know, we were on obviously the trajectory to buy a property per year. We really wanted to see what we could do to speed that up. You know, it's expensive to buy houses, obviously, right? So, you know, we thought, hey, why, let's look into this co-hosting gig to see if we can help some other owners that, you know, want to invest in these properties and make money. There are also a lot of owners that are using larger property management companies that really are not doing as good as they should. So that was a motivator as well. You know, we, you know, saw the clear difference as if you're self-managing or you're working with a large property manager, the revenue numbers don't even compare. So we thought, you know, we would start the co-hosting side of things. So opened up a little co-hosting business. We co-host for 7 additional properties now. So we have 10 short-term rentals as a whole in management. And those 7 properties, not to throw more markets in there, but we've got Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. We also have some in Oregon, believe it or not, which is like completely the opposite direction. I'm from the Oregon coast. So we go there to visit family on somewhat of a regular basis. So it, you know, made sense for us to pick up some over there as well. So
any interest in going full on property manager with it, or you just like the side gig co-host thing?
Eventually we would like it.
Yeah. I mean, the term property manager, like,
you know, having a brokerage, you know, licenses and the whole thing.
Right. Exactly. You know, maybe eventually, never say never, but we're comfortable kind of what we're doing right now. The goal is to continue to produce that cash flow to buy properties, investment properties that we can use wherever we want to go. You know, so it's not like we want to take over the world of property management. You know, we're looking to just increase our cash flow a bit so we, you know, can, you know, obviously scale from that buying one property to year to maybe 2 or 3. You know, we have 3 properties, but they're just getting to a place to where those properties are going to continue to buy other properties. And we just want to kind of, you know,
accelerate that.
Yeah, accelerate that a bit.
So at managing 10, do you feel like you're at your capacity as far as other people's, or would you be interested in taking more on?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think we're getting to our threshold of, you know, what the two of us can handle, especially having, you know, our full-time jobs. Mm. But yeah, we're definitely looking to expand and, you know, positioning ourselves to grow.
Mm. Yeah.
What property management software are we using?
Hospitable.
Oh, very simple. Nice. And they just came out with their new financials after all these years, finally. Yes. And made our lives a lot easier.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And so just the 3 properties that you own, or is there, do we have plans for a fourth? Is there a fourth?
Yeah. Yep. We're looking right now.
We're putting in offers. And
oh, great.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on shopping in this market?
It's it's less competitive.
Fall 2024. I mean, it's right. Weird, right? So what is it like out there making offers in this market?
So it's a lot less competitive, right? I mean, I kind of enjoy it a bit more aside from the interest rates. Obviously nobody likes the interest rates right now. You're not competing with, 10 buyers to purchase a property. So, I think, this is more of an opportunity for buyers to get something at a decent price point and then to maybe refinance when the rates go down, if they ever go down, a generous amount. But you're talking to a guy that put in like multiple offers for a number of years and only landed like two properties the first 2 years, So I kind of enjoy this, like, hey, that property looks great. Nobody's looking at it. It's been on the market for 90 days. Let's go see, how willing they are to work with what offer we give them.
Okay, hold on. So what's the strategy on the purchase? Are you always looking right now, at least in this right now today, for something that's been on the market for several months, or what's this, the buy box?
Yeah. So the buy box, So something that's been on the market for a number of months. I mean, those are the opportunity, listings, I think. Right. So for us, do you mean buy box in terms of like a price point or?
No, like, I mean, like determining which one to make an offer on. Cause you're seeing there's more listings right now than we've had in a number of years. I mean, many years. Right. So like, how do you know, which one is worth throwing offers at? Are you just throwing offers at all of them and then trying to find out which seller actually wants to sell?
All of them. I mean, we looked at one that had just come on the market and we wanted to put an offer in. It doesn't matter whether it just comes on the market or it's been on the market. Hmm. I think we're just having to expand our, maybe looking at ones that possibly need more work than we originally purchased, that were ready to go on the market. So it's just opening up what we're willing to do, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's something, obviously we're running the numbers on the properties. If we find something that, has good cash on cash, I mean, at that point, it's cash on cash is relative, right? Somebody's cash on cash expectation may be different than the other guys, but, if the numbers make sense and we can get it for, a good deal, it's something that we like that we could potentially use as well. I think that's something that motivates us. So that's kind of, what we're looking at when purchasing our fourth right now. So.
Mm. Are you finding that there are slightly better deals right now than 2 years ago or not?
Seems like it. It seems like it. The number is still a little more difficult to get to work at times because of interest rates, but they're still out there. So. I'm definitely finding, properties at, better price points now than they were, 1-2 years ago.
Mm. Yes. It's a weird market, but you are certainly correct about not having any competition. This is, very few buyers right now, which seems to me like the perfect time to buy,
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they're not buying. Yeah. Throw a bunch of offers, see which that's where I'm at with it. I had one recently that the dude, this was a long-term and he called my agent. She was managing it previously or I don't even know. And he wanted to sell it and he was hurting and he was like a regular dude. He was like a chef or something in a kitchen. It was the only house he owned and he was hurting for money and something like that. Anyway, it ended up being like 4 months of back and forth. And I think he was trying to decide if he wanted to like fix it up and list it or not. And then eventually I just like, here's my number. I'm not changing this number, period. I just can't. I can't. I will not make any money on it if I do any more than this. It's the best I can do. Eventually he just came. He came back and said, let's do it. He came back like within $2,000 at one point. I was like, no, I'm dead serious. I can't, Now again, this was like an off market thing and it was a relationship based thing. It was through my agent, but, for whatever reason, it did work out. I guess my point is that would never have happened 3 years ago. No mm-hmm. way in hell that story would even have existed 2-3 years ago. We just got to pay attention. It's just part of the job. You got to pay attention and learn what the new landscape is. And it seems to be changing fairly regularly right now. All right, yeah. Cool. So what's the future? We want some more co-hosts. Are we planning to keep the day jobs? Are we happy there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, ultimate goal, you know, if we didn't have to work our day jobs, obviously we really enjoy the short-term and vacation rental side of things. Obviously we're co-hosting. If we didn't like it, we wouldn't be doing this for other people. So, you know, eventually to leave our W-2s and do this, yeah, that would be absolutely amazing. But like, you know, if you have a job, it's a little bit, you know, more simple to purchase property. So, we'll probably keep it for as long as we need to. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Just grow and continue to work our regular jobs and, you know, fill our plates up even more, you know?
Well, I'm proud of you guys. I'm super proud of you. You're working hard. It's not easy to do any of this stuff that you're doing. So congratulations in trying to make a difference in your lives. And, if there's anything we can do to help with that, we're happy to do that. Do you have a book suggestion for us? Something maybe you've read recently or something that really changed the way you think about the world?
You want to go first in that one?
6 books would be fine. You don't have to give just one.
One recently I read, it's like a self-motivation, personal development, is The Eagle and the Dragon by Chris Duflin, entrepreneur, overcoming, you know, just strength and perseverance.
I love this. I do not know that book. Thank you.
I'm a little different.
I'm a big reader, and I just love the title. So thank you. I will guarantee you, or Chris, whatever his name was that wrote the book, I will buy that book and put it in my queue. So thank you.
On sale on Amazon.
Nice. Eagle and the Dragon. That sounds like a Netflix series.
Could be.
Yeah. Okay. You know, the one I think about the most, so Tim Grover, Relentless. He's also got one that's called Winning. It's great. Tim Grover, he was a trainer for Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Dwayne Wade. That's probably the number one in my book there. Of course, I want to say Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but you hear that on every freaking podcast.
Every podcast, yes. Yep. I'm literally downloading Eagle and Dragon right now.
There you go.
It's very interesting.
Eagle and the Dragon.
Yes.
I have not heard of this. It has very few reviews.
Yes, but it's a good one.
I like that. So, and it's like 5 years old with very few reviews. This is definitely in my wheelhouse. Okay, downloaded. All right, guys, it's been wonderful. Great to hear your story, and I'm super proud of you. Just keep waking up and getting it done. How do we find you? Do you want to be found?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so a couple of places. So if you can find us on Facebook, obviously we're part of the short-term shop group. Our website for our co-hosting business is wandermorehosting.com.
W-A-N-D-E-R.
Yep, exactly.
Wander more.
Cool. Yep. So probably the best.
So you can wander a little more.
Oh. That's what I was going to ask you about retiring, the day job. It sounds like you like your jobs. Do you like your jobs? That's very refreshing, you know?
I don't mind my job, and I'm going to retire from the Army. So that'll free up a little bit of time for me.
I don't like the non-freedom aspect. Let's just say that. I've done my job for 16 years now. So it's just literally like, it's just the job. I don't really know anything else. You know, for most of my adult life, I've done that.
Well, you're making strides to provide a better life for yourself. They're big strides, big giant strides. So congratulations. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We enjoy what we do on the co-hosting side and on the short-term rental side. So that's our passion right now.
Totally. There you go. Love it. Love it. We enjoy it too. And thanks for hanging with us on short-term rental management. And as always, don't overthink it.
Thanks, Luke.
See ya.
Thank you.